Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 25. And we're going to look at the first eight verses of Exodus chapter 25. I'll read along in my Bible out loud as you follow along in your Bible. Exodus 25, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall make my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." A people dedicated to a task. A people dedicated to a task. This is the day, a great day, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We especially rejoice today because we're dedicating our new educational building to the glory of God. We entered into this incredible challenge, embarking on a capital campaign and a building project in the midst, really, of an economic downturn, as you all are aware. What does this teach us? Church family, it teaches us that God is faithful, that He is serious about the church reaching the lost. Now, we're given this Old Testament passage, an Old Testament example of God's work, and it reminds us of what God has done in our midst. Over 50 chapters in the Bible are given over to describing the tabernacle's construction. That passage in Exodus 25 is referring to the process that God took His people through in the construction of the tabernacle, its use and its significance. The tabernacle was a worship center where God in all of His glory could dwell in the midst of His people. It was designed to be portable, because the nation of Israel at that time was nomadic. Now, there are significant differences in their process from our process, but I'd like to dwell on three parallels between their process and our process. First of all, the vision. First is the vision. Moses said to the Israelites, in effect, just what I believe that he has said to us. He said to us, "I want you to do something here at North Central." And he said, Moses said to the people, the Lord said to the people through Moses, "I want to do something here. It is both expansive and," listen, "it's expensive." It's expansive and it's expensive. The Bible repeatedly tells us that God gave Moses the plans for the tabernacle during his 40-day sojourn on Mount Sinai. They were very detailed, and they were patterned. Those plans were patterned after the permanent tabernacle that we see in the highest heaven, found in Hebrews chapter 9. It may have been for them a portable tent, but it was by no means ordinary. Perhaps the most surprising thing about this tabernacle was the cost of it. Very, very expensive. It is true that this Old Testament tabernacle was a tent, but it was no ordinary tent. If you want to get into tents, you can camp. One of the highlights of our family is we took all five children, Kelly and I, camping for six nights in North Carolina. I went to Sam's and bought the largest family tent you could buy. The thing had three rooms. Now, you talk to them, and they'll tell you it was the most disastrous week of our lives. But yet, when all of us get together and we talk about vacations, that's always the one they bring up. I heard the story of a guy who was actually he was in law school here at UF and had He had a little son, him and his wife, and he was at law school. He said, let's go camping. They went one of the little campgrounds around here in Gainesville, around Gainesville, and they were camping. He said, we went out there, and it started raining. We had this little teeny tent. And he said, the water was dripping in the middle of the tent, and it was cold. It was a cold winter night, and the water was dripping. He said, we wanted to make camper stew. Y'all ever done that? Where you take aluminum foil and you put raw hamburger meat, maybe veg all, you know, a can of just mixed vegetables. You put it all in there, cut up potatoes. You put it all in there and you let the fire heat it up. He said, well, we were trying to get a fire started because it was raining. And he said, we went out there and it barely got warm. I mean, it was just lukewarm. So I finally said, we got to eat this stuff. So he said, I took it in the tent. And he said, we were sitting there, we opened up that aluminum foil, and just, it was barely warm. And we were eating it, and as we were eating it, the cold water was dripping down onto the meal. He said, it was then that I knew camping was special. My son looked up at us, and he said, Mom and Dad, this is the most fun I've ever had. So we've tried the tent camping. Now you can go and you can buy a little single person tent. You can buy a big family tent like I did, and use that one time. But how much would it cost to build the exact replica of the tabernacle? The Old Testament scholar calculated the amount of gold, silver, and precious stones, the wood, the leathers, the fabrics contained in the Old Testament tabernacle. For example, in Exodus 38:24, it says that the gold used in the tabernacle was 29 talents. That was a measurement of weight. In other words, there were 2,842 pounds of gold in the tabernacle. That's a lot of gold. Gold is currently valued at $1,662 per ounce, which means that the total value just of the gold would be over $75 million. The value of the other materials would probably double that, for there were 5 tons of silver, 4 tons of brass, and an assortment of jewels, fine woods, rich tapestries. So it was no little vision that God gave the children of Israel. It was no little endeavor. God is always after his people to do great things for him. So this was a 150 million plus project that was done in Exodus chapter 25 as we've read about it. Now our building started with a vision. Brother Fred mentioned about the Future Expansion Committee. We debated and we looked at, you know, how we were doing as a church and what would help us the most. And they concluded we needed this 16 classrooms to help us along in our Bible study ministry, to help us on Wednesday nights with other things. We knew that we needed space for so many areas of our church: Bible study groups, youth, couples, singles, college students, internationals. So they made the recommendation that we build that building to allow us to grow. It begins, ladies and gentlemen, with a vision. Now, in the Old Testament, where could a bunch of slaves, newly liberated slaves, because that's who Moses had with him, where could they afford that kind of vision? Where would those sorts of resources come from? Applying this to ourselves, we could ask, how could we ever launch into this kind of a building project? How could we generate those funds? Well, that leads me to the second thing that I want you to consider, is the provision. To the second parallel between what happened in Exodus and what happened here at North Central, and that is the provision. God provides the needed resources. He never gives vision without provision. You've heard it said this way: where God guides, he provides. God raises up the provision necessary to get the work done. He anticipates the need and meets it in advance. Look in your Bible. Go back to Exodus chapter 3. I want you to find this in your copy, or you can see it on the screen. Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 21. In this chapter, we see that the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush, appointing him to return to Egypt and deliver his people from slavery. God made Moses one promise that we frequently overlook. Look at verse 21. This is Exodus chapter 3, verse 21. "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians." God raised up those needed resources for the tabernacle in actually liberating the children of Israel from Egypt. And that's exactly what happened. Now, keep your place there in chapter 25 and go to Exodus chapter 12, because we find out exactly what happened when they were liberated. In chapter 3, God gave him the promise, but in chapter 12, we see exactly what happened. This is Exodus chapter 12, verse 31. Exodus 12, 31. "Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said," this was the Pharaoh, "he said, 'Rise, go out from among this my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said.'" You know, Moses said to the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And so the Pharaoh was saying, "You go and serve the Lord as you have said." Verse 32. "Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." Verse 34. "So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians, as the Bible says." Here is the great principle. The Lord places in our hand, church family, the resources of the world. God gives us the resources that he desires for us to use for his glory. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." God has blessed in our people's lives. And as a result of that, our people have given out of the increase that God has given them and out of the sacrifice that they wanted to make this building a reality. All we have is God's. Amen? All we have is his, and it comes from him. The Bible teaches that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He gives and gives and gives to his people. Why does he do that? Why do we have the resources that we have? Why did he make the Egyptians so favorably disposed toward the Israelites? And why did he want this group of ex-slaves to have so much wealth? The Lord wasn't interested in giving them a lavish lifestyle necessarily, as he was in giving them the resources they needed to build that tabernacle. He was planning ahead. He was entrusting the Israelites with the material needed for his special tent. He was putting the needed resources in their pockets and in their purses in advance. And God could have sent the gold, he could have sent the silver and the precious stones down from heaven. He certainly has the power to do that. But he chooses to use his people. He could have airlifted the lumber and the timber, but he chooses to use his people. He loves it when his people are involved and when they are his channels. When God uses his people as channels for doing his work, he entrusted the resources to them. And God has led us to give. Our people have given sacrificially. I know maybe I say this more often than perhaps I should, but ladies and gentlemen, it is literally a miracle what God has done in the last, 20 months, 19 months through our Above and Beyond program. In the midst of a difficult day economically in our country, in the financial markets, what the Lord has done through the life of this fellowship of believers is a testimony of what God can do through His people. His grace is sufficient. And I'm so thankful that we come to this day and we can praise Him. We can praise Him for what He has done in our lives. God has led us to give so that this building could be built, and so that our debt on this current building, remember, not only have we been giving to help us build this new building that we dedicate today, but we also know that we have some indebtedness on this building that we want to eradicate. One of the things that the Future Expansion Committee considered is, should we have a campaign only to relieve the debt? And the decision was made that we needed this interim building. We needed these 16 classrooms to grow to the point that we could put a dent in this, through above and beyond, in this debt on this building, and then come to the point that we could tackle the remaining debt together as a church family as we grew. And so God granted that vision, and we're so thankful and grateful that He did. So now, this leads to the final parallel, all right? Number three, the decision. Each person in our fellowship had a decision that they needed to make. How would they be involved in making a difference in having this building built? How could God use them to do their part in helping us raise the funds to build our educational building? Back when we first began raising the money for our building, our people prayed. We've spent a lot of time in prayer as a church family. I know these committees have, and I know you have. They looked at creative ways to give. Our people prayed, and they looked at creative ways to give. People gave sacrificially. People found that when you sacrifice, God blesses. This congregation got behind the effort. The deacons, the teachers, the staff, the volunteers on every level. Each and every member had a part and has had a part in our above and beyond process. We're thankful for that. Now, we really come to about the midpoint. We're a little bit past the midpoint of our above and beyond campaign. That was a 3-year campaign that began in May of 2011. And so we're a few months past the midpoint, but we come to a midpoint time of commitment in our above and beyond campaign. It's important that we think through and make sure we finish the job. We make sure we finish the commitment that God has led us to and the vision that God has led us to in our church family. In 2 weeks, we're going to have our midpoint above and beyond recommitment day. Now, some may choose to give. They may decide that I have been able to give what I have what I committed to give, but the Lord has blessed me and I can give some more. I could give a little more. I could give a lot more, some may feel led to do, and that would be a blessing. But some are here who maybe were not here when we began above and beyond. We've added new people. Praise the Lord for the baptismal waters that have been stirred. Amen? Praise the Lord for people who have united with us. We're so grateful. And some of you have already been giving. I feel confident of that. I don't know any of the details of it, and I'm grateful and thankful that the way we do it here is the Lord protects me from knowing any of the details. I don't know who gives, who doesn't give, who's pledged, who hadn't pledged. All I know is I just see the people of this church giving the funds to meet the needs that we have, and I'm thankful for that. So I don't know who has been given, who haven't, but I can't help but think that there may be some people here who have joined us who were not here when we originally started above and beyond. So in 2 weeks, I want to encourage you to evaluate what you could do to be a part of above and beyond. And then you could record, you could make a record of what you plan to give as we finish out above and beyond for about the next 16 months. There may be some here today that have not given. There may be some folks here that have not been able to give, or they have not given to this point. You may be so brand new, you're just asking, what is this all about? Well, you're finding out about it, and you're seeing how God has been a part of our church family's vision in a huge way in the building of this building. So I want to encourage you, if you have not given towards this building or the current debt on this building, I want to encourage you to do it. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of what the Lord is doing. You can now communicate your commitment to the Above and Beyond program on January the 27th. All of our people are going to be sent a letter describing it, and we're going to have a time during the offering where you can just place that commitment card in the offering on January the 27th, and you can commit to give what the Lord has laid on your heart as we finalize Above and Beyond, which takes us through April of next year, and that three-year campaign will be completed at that time. Now, if you made a commitment in April of 11 and you don't wish to change it, you can put in a new card with the same commitment, if you just don't turn in a card, then we have your previous commitment on record, and that will help us plan and help us know what to expect, and that's fine. You can do it that way. If you made a commitment in April of 2011 and you don't want to change it, then you can just do it that way. You can either turn in a new card, just letting us know that it's the same, or if you don't do anything, then that will be your commitment as well as we finish. If you haven't been giving, I want to challenge you to be a part of what the Lord is doing here and make a sacrificial commitment to this effort. If you're new and you have been giving, why don't you go ahead and put that card in so that we can know what to expect in the office and that your commitment is a part of the Above and Beyond campaign. I would encourage you to do that. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 25 again. Let's look at that passage. Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 and 2 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze.'" I want you to notice in verse 2 something very significant that sometimes is not highlighted when you hear messages about building and about giving. It says this, "that they may bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly." Church family, look at me. What God has done here, we have done willingly. Amen? God has put it in us to do what has happened willingly. And all our Above and Beyond campaign has been, all this building program has been, as we have said, "Lord, what do you want us to do?" And we willingly make those commitments. It is a blessing. God has blessed us so much in our effort already toward our building and the retiring of our existing debt. Our commitment was that when we finished Above and Beyond, we would be completely and totally debt-free of that building. Can I say this? You noticed on our sheet that BBVA is our bank, and that we had some interim financing. We wanted to make sure as we got started that we always had the necessary funds so that we wouldn't be locked up and not be able to go forward. And so we entered into an agreement with our bank to make sure we had that. And the Lord has provided way more than we ever would have thought, because when we went into the process, those on the committee and the fundraising committee, we felt like we needed a $300,000 cushion just to make sure. And so I want to commend those in leadership, and I want to commend our committees and commend our church family, because when we went to that bank, they said, "Oh, y'all have done it right. You have raised this much cash already before you've even come to us." In most construction interim financing agreements, they have to send inspectors from the bank Our bank told us, they said, because of the funds you've already raised, because of the commitments your people have made, because of the way you have done this, we're going to loan you the money. All you do is just call us and tell us you need it. We'll put it there, and we don't need to come see the building. We decided we needed $300,000. Can I tell you this? At this point, we're only right at about $100,000. Only a third of what we thought we would need have we even tapped into, and I predict by the faithfulness, well, that's dangerous to say I predict. Let me back up. I'm praying that by the faithfulness of our people, it'll just be a short few months that we'll have that completely done, and we will be completely and totally debt-free in that building. God has done an incredible, incredible thing in the life of our church. We're so thankful for it. And so by the end of our campaign, as Brother Fred said, we'll be completely and totally debt-free of that. And then all of the remaining above and beyond will go to the retirement of this existing debt. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, as we all have said many times in meetings here, committee members, myself as pastor, and I want to lead the way in this, we are committed to being completely and totally debt-free. Amen, church? We are committed to that. We will do that, and that is our commitment and our desire. So in conclusion, let me just say this. Like the Israelites, we are going, and we have been embarking on the vision that God has given us. Hey, we're a group of ex-slaves. We're a group of ex-slaves, enslaved by the tyranny of sin. For we have been set free. We're ex-slaves because we have been set free from the tyranny of Satan and of sin. Now, God has done a great work in our midst already. It's amazing what has already happened. We have come to dedicate this building to the Lord. He wants to extend his kingdom and advance his work on this earth. We're facing a great opportunity, and each of us must devote ourselves to the Lord anew, asking him, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to say? What would you have me to give? I encourage our church family to find a place of service. Find a place of ministry. We have all kinds of ministry opportunities. Ministry with our children. Our extended care program needs help in the nursery. Next week, I don't know how many Carrie is going to be here, but we're looking, I think, the potential of about 7 babies we're going to dedicate. That's exciting. You know what? Those babies, see, we enjoy this out here, but right there's somebody changing a diaper back there, okay? I just want you to know that. You just need to be reminded of that sometimes. There's somebody back there changing a, well, you know, back there. And so we need help in those areas. We need help in our Awana ministry. These little children running around here with Brother Fred, learning about Christ, hiding God's word in their heart. We need helpers. We need people that will listen as they quote God's word. We need help in our Sunday school. We need help with our young people. Our college ministry is as I say, cooking. I like it. They've just come back from Passion, and God has moved in their hearts in a huge way, and we're thankful that God is moving in that way in the life of our church. We're thankful and grateful for it. But here's the thing. When the people of God give, they do it willingly. Do you know that this is even affirmed in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians? It says this, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I want us to pray to dedicate this building to the Lord. This is the time for us to pray that God will use this building to bring his grace to people. That is what we want to be faithful to do, and that is share the grace of God, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people, and to allow the Lord to use that building to further his kingdom's work. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a wicked world. We live in a world where people need Jesus Christ. Our church has always been a church that gave people the gospel. Hey, listen, I met some folks here that are guests today from Tavares, Florida. Tavares is in Mount Dora, if you know where Mount Dora, that's right by Lake Yale. Lake Yale is where I went to youth camp as a 16-year-old teenager and came to know Christ. Hey, I needed Christ. Our church has been a church that has always preached the gospel and helped people to have a relationship with Christ. I'm thankful that people helped me. I want us to use our building, all of these buildings, to get the gospel to people. We must remain faithful. Brother Fred, our building chairman, I don't want to put him on the spot, but I know he's been in this church a long time. How many years, roughly, Brother Fred? 49? About 40-something years? Okay. He's been in our church a while. He grew up here. I know they married here. And he raised his boys here. The Lord used North Central in the life of your family. Amen? He did. And I think about recently little Samuel, his grandson. I got to baptize little Samuel. What a blessing. I think about my wife Kelly, who grew up here. Somebody mentioned GAs. Anybody know what GAs is? Raise your hand. Okay, I got some waving people here on GAs. I got people to wave on GAs. Girls in Action. When Kelly was a little girl in this church, she was in GAs where they talked about missions. Last week we had a missionary here telling us about the gospel going to the frontiers of the world. People needing Christ in places that perhaps we don't even, places that have never heard the gospel. Kelly was in GAs and God put in her heart a love for ministry. That investment may be the reason she said yes to me. Thank you, GA leaders. That may be the reason she said yes, because as a tender little girl in this church, North Central Baptist Church, somebody put in her a heart for ministry and for Christ. Let's pray that we're faithful in that way. I think about the little kids running around here now. Years from now, them knowing Jesus, them growing in their relationship with Christ, so important. I think about our college students that are here. I was a college student here a long time ago, back in the late 70s and the early 80s. These were great days in my life when I was challenged to consider the claims of Christ. Hey, college students, live every day for Jesus. Give your life to Him. It's worth it. You'll never regret the day that you say, Jesus, I'm sold out to You. I want to do what You want me to do. If God's led you to be an engineer, you be God's engineer in that field. If God's led you to be a nurse, you be God's nurse in that field. If God's led you in whatever field it is, you be used of God, and God will and always has called out those from this place to serve Him in a church-related way. And God may be speaking to many of you about missions, about using your life for the cause of Christ and missions. Somebody told me that our speaker last week made the statement that when he was asked by our International Mission Board, tell me about your call to missions, his response was, my call? Aren't we all called to missions? Aren't we all called to missions? Hey, listen, some of you in business, you ought to give a week of your life to take the gospel somewhere overseas. You ought to look for ways. We've got so many opportunities in our convention of people to take short-term trips to go help people. Our friends that are in the Middle East have told me that they're looking for ways that people can come over and help them through business and in other ways, recreation, athletics, and things like that, where they can have folks come over and help them. I encourage you to do that. I thought about not only our college students, but I thought about these babies we're going to dedicate next week, where mamas and daddies can be in that building and study God's word and grow and learn what it means to raise a family in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. These babies grow up and they become leaders. And I'm just thankful that North Central has had that commitment through the years to get the gospel. So really what we're doing, we're not really just dedicating a building today. We're dedicating ourselves to the gospel.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.